Welcome to Swiss Impact with Banerjees. I'm Svetlana.
And I'm Ben.
In season 2, we will be traveling around the globe, out of Switzerland, and bring amazing leaders from businesses, thought leaders, political leaders, of course, investors and experts.
We're working at implementing and realizing all the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, better known as SDGs.
And they are also making profit.
Hello, I am Amina Gurifakim, and I'm the sixth president of the Republic of Mauritius.
My name is Parvati, and I'm a musical artist and the founder and CEO of Parvati Foundation.
I'm Michael Lichtenstein. I'm an entrepreneur here in Lichtenstein. I'm running on one side of a financial services company.
You know, hundreds of deals a month, mm-hmm. We are seeing more things happening in this impact world. And this is because, look, the world is changing.
So join us to discover impact investing ecosystem.
See you every Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central European time at Swiss Impact with Banerjees.
See you on Friday. Act with impact.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening to everyone. And good night to our viewers from the Far East.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Swiss Impact with Banerjees, meaning Ben and myself, Svetlana. Today is actually quite far away day in the sense that we have started this program more than 4 months ago and already broadcasted in 122 countries around the globe. You can watch us on various channels such as IBM TV, Chamomile, and YouTube.
And now the new name is Pod TV. Don't forget.
Exactly.
And if you like the show, you can also, in your social media, you can also subscribe it. Or how do you say it? You say subscribe.
Yeah, subscribe.
Subscribe it.
Subscribe so you will be informed about new guests coming and the next releases and any special things which are going to happen. Well, for those who are new, what are we doing at our show? We are interviewing a special guest from impact investing world, investors, policymakers, decision makers, scientists, and all with a goal to make impact investing the new normal, to inspire people to take an action for the better world, for better future generations.
And I think we are doing quite a good job, but we'll tell it later on.
Yes. Do you want to say something special today, Ben?
To start with, I would like to dedicate today's show to the unsung heroes and heroines I know of. Last week has been very difficult for me, especially because my sister Joya, she was not only one of the most caring and generous person I know of, passed away. She was an ideal wife, she was an entrepreneur, mother, and she was running around every time with a new project, sometimes feeding stray dogs. She took care of the poor children in all areas around her in Delhi where she lived. She took care of the farmers, trying to support them by getting their products sold directly. And she was helping street children. And a few years back, when there was an earthquake in Nepal, which I'm sure many of you are aware of, she was the one going around running everywhere, collecting tents and all kind of support to be sent to Nepal. Including, she even could convince my elder son, Milan, to go around here in Switzerland, in our village, collecting money to send tents and food and everything to Nepal. That was her. So, and there are many more social activities she was busy with, which I'm not aware of. But unfortunately, after a long fight with COVID last week, she passed away last week, Thursday, after 4 days in the COVID. So our family lost one of the most generous and kind member.
So it's really difficult times for us. And indeed, you know, to everyone who has family members in danger, our all love and prayers are for you now. And so we hope that you get strength in this difficult situation. And we are sending you our positive energy from Swiss Impact with Banerjees. And from my side, it's really what amazing person Joya was. And I'm sure there are much more in this world, these pure souls which are engaged for the whole world, and they inspire with their lives and they never die. So for me, they remain living in their stories. And I hope that much more people will take an action in this way, and that we can change the world for better together with our own lives.
And today during the show, we will mention a lot of activities and things which we are doing and setting up or busy setting up, and which we will love to have you all participate in it.
Yep. So we need to continue anyway. It was a very eventful week, and Ben, not to undermine the tradition, would you like to share something with our audience from the impact investing world? What was happening?
A lot is happening, and especially I have been involved in a couple of things. Last week, we had a meeting with the Prime Minister, Her Excellency Sanna Marin. She's the Prime Minister of Finland. She's the most courageous and ambitious political leader in Europe that I know of. And she mentioned the paths and the targets they have put together to achieve the Paris Agreement. The other members who were also present in the meeting were my colleagues from the Nordic and from West Europe. Their views and the commitments they are coming forward with are amazing. And the policy changes they are making are also amazing. But the thing is, they are at least talking and they're implementing. But what about the rest of Europe? What is happening there? And me being realistic, at least I see myself as a realistic.
Yes, you are.
And I think our actions are not, I mean, my question is, are our actions enough? What the political leaders are doing? Will we be on time? And most importantly, will these policies and actions be implemented on the ground level? And my opinion of mine is based on, I hope many of you viewers must be remembering from United Nations, we had a speaker a couple of weeks back, and she had mentioned that none of the major carbon emitting countries, which includes each and every member of the European Union, have not been able to put into place the policies which will make them achieve the Paris Agreement.
Mm-hmm. And why do you say first? Is there any other point which you'd like to mention here?
Secondly, I would like to say to our viewers from the financial sector, this also I got from some of the financial
Be leaders. Careful, you know, you sometimes make statements that I think, oh no, maybe I just go away.
This comes from the mouth of the lion himself. They said the financial sectors have to now watch out. The regulations are catching up very fast to ensure that the financial institutions will have to report on the impact their investments are making and not to proceed forward with greenwashing, which is happening quite very much in many places. This will change. Mm-hmm. And point to my friends from the Republican Party in the United States who are watching. The greening of President Biden, which everybody is vehemently against, or what President Biden is talking of, will increase, and this comes also from the data mentioned, will increase the global GDP with $44 trillion. So this is not, and this is not even including the $6.3 trillion which are being given as subsidies to the fossil fuel-based industries, mm-hmm. Or I don't even want to add the other subsidies which are going, they're called on the wrong reasons, like the agriculture subsidies and things like that, which happens in West Europe.
That was pretty tough argument. So anything else here to add, or we can start?
And I just wanted to mention before that most importantly, at this moment, India is reeling under this COVID. We are trying to organize Global Health for India. Lot of institutions, lot of organizations here in Switzerland, including IBM TV, Pod TV, all are contributing to support India. So please keep your eye on the website chamomile.ch, where we will keep you updated with all the activities that we are taking. Mm-hmm. And if anything you guys want to participate with or support, you are more welcome. And we will keep the information updated with all the activities that we are taking.
Yes, just more detail. So there are a couple of NGOs which we are going to sell in India, which are supporting many people in these difficult times and are very efficient in what they are doing. And we want to donate, so arrange some donations. And you are most welcome to take an action together to help other people on this planet who are struggling.
I mean, one more information I can give is that, for example, day before yesterday, two plane loads of machineries left Switzerland for Delhi, which was contributed by the Swiss India Chamber of Commerce. So there's a lot of initiatives taking place around the world to support India in every possible way that we can.
That's right.
So with this, I would like to just add a little bit about Svetlana, if you can tell us about our course of 20th May.
Yeah, sure. So for those who didn't hear about that, amazing news, we will have two courses on the same day about profitable business with impact, where you can learn how to set up such business that you can create both social and environmental impacts and higher returns, how you can successfully fundraise in this business and get the money to get your project into action. We will also be talking about how to get other support, expertise, available, so you can scale your business as well. And so the course will be two times at the lunchtime at 12:30 and 19:30 in the evening. So we cover the whole world with impact.
Central European time, you forgot to mention.
Exactly, Central European time. Right, but all the information are available on chamomile.ch at events. Yeah. Very easy, so you can join us, and it's free, of course. Yeah. So Ben, I'm getting a bit nervous about our guests. I don't know who is coming today. So what is this surprise guest? So
today I got a hardcore expert on impact investment. So she is an expert in and a combination of entrepreneur, educator, and she's an idealist.
Mm-hmm. Okay, who is then?
Of course you. Who else do I know?
No, oh, come on, what?
So ladies and gentlemen, with this I introduce you Svetlana Banerjee. She's my wife, she's my colleague, and my teacher in this world of impact investment.
Thank you, my dear. I think we will talk about it later on. All right. Yes, thank you very much. I am delighted to join the program as a speaker.
So first we will start with, I'll just do a short introduction. So with this, I will welcome Svetlana. And so this time you are going to be in my opposite table, who is the founder and CEO of Chamomile, which nearly all of you know of, the impact community of Chamomile. She's running the Impact Investment School, where most of the trainings to financial institutions is given to. She's board member of the same organization where I'm also on the board, that's the Swiss Impact Investment Association, president of Galileo International Impact Center, TEDx speaker, lecturer, and of course, the co-host of our weekly TV show. So I may be knowing the answers to many of these questions today, which I'm going to ask her, but I'll ask it on behalf of the audience so that you know what we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So can you say something about yourself, which I did not mention for the audience?
Well, I think, did you say that I'm a mother as well?
Oh yeah, she's a mother of our 9 months old son.
Yeah, so. Because many people ask, how can you combine all this, what you're doing, and...
And still look so good.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, well, usually what I answer is yoga, because I'm also a yoga teacher, and otherwise it wouldn't be possible, as well as COVID. So we have some positive impact, which allows to be very efficient and do many things at the same time. But maybe to add, yeah, I'm an ex-banker. For those who don't know, I come from a very hardcore traditional banking and finance industry. And I'm the citizen of the world, how I like to say it, because even though I come originally from Russia, I'm also Swiss, French, and what I believe it is that there are no borders for people, and the planet is our home.
Exactly. I remember the story, but I'll think about it later. I'll come back to it. So to start with, what is your personal understanding or feeling behind the term impact investment?
Okay, well, usually I say first the definition that is generally accepted is that impact investing are investments which create positive social and environmental impact beside financial return. And of course, this impact is measurable. But for me, it is much more than that. It's people and businesses which care about the planet, about the environment, which have an underlying mission. And then once you have that, it's really quite easy to see what is what. Is it sustainable investment or it is impact investing? When you just dig a little bit deeper, then you see the true motivation behind the business. Is it still profit driven or is it really mission driven and there is much more behind? So it's has this social and environmental component.
Oh, thank you. No, I noticed it because last week I was chairing an investment committee in Sweden for projects, and they were amazing projects, but these were also very clearly focused on social or environmental issues and problems and SDGs. Mm. So I think we have to keep on, it is easier to look this side, but then the audience, we have to keep on looking at the camera.
Look this side.
So what motivated you to move to this sector?
Well, it was a long move till I even knew that it even exists, you know, because when I started my studies in banking and finance, I did know nothing about impact investing. I didn't know it even exists. So obviously I was not motivated by social and environmental actions at the beginning, but once I discovered that it exists, and it happened when I was working at a family office which was running three commodity funds. And commodity industry is not the most sustainable one, right? And one of our very inventive portfolio managers and directors, he had an idea to establish sustainable mining fund. And we would be pioneers, you know, there was none such fund. And this is how I ended up writing my thesis on the topic commodity stocks, sustainability and performance. So we wanted to figure out whether sustainable mining funds are also more profitable than non-sustainable ones. And interestingly, even though, I mean, at that time, it was in 2010, I think, there was not much of research data available. Still, you could see the progress from 2000 to 2010, that there is much more mining companies which are sustainable coming to the market, or like they're transforming their businesses into sustainable. And when I was writing the thesis, I was crying. Did you cry? No. Yeah, because I really dig deeper what those mining companies are doing in various countries with environment, with local communities. It was just like mind-blowing thing that, wow, I was not aware of these issues that we are facing. And this is how I learned all of the terms like responsible investing, sustainable investing, impact, and so on. And this is how I said, okay, this is definitely that I want to continue, but I want to do something good with finance. This was when it happened. And also when financial crisis happened in 2008. I don't know how many of you remember that, but everyone was blaming financial people for what has happened. And it was such a shame for all the bankers. What?
They should.
Yeah, but I was studying that topic, right? So I was like, oh my gosh, what am I studying? And exactly. So this is when I started to think about, how can we do something good with finance? And so my search started this way. And when I discovered that it exists, of course, I wanted to move forward to sustainable finance. But it's not that easy, I tell you, especially at those times. A very limited offer, very few people know that it even exists. And I did my best to kind of go to this direction and join a sustainable bank where I believed I could start my journey. So, but it's, okay. I can share more during today.
No, because sometimes I think a lot of things start with a good intention, but they generally don't end good. Like we are all talking about moving to palm oil or the bio oil, but we very often, we are not aware of how much damage this is being created in countries like in Indonesia or in the Amazon, where forests or virgin forests are being destroyed to create a product which is basically supposed to be a good product. So this is, I think, same with the mining, that sometimes we use products or substances which we think we are doing very good by using it, but we are not aware of the fact, where does that raw material come from and under what situation and what circumstances?
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been honored to visit even one mine in Sweden. I can say
a
that.
A mine in Sweden?
Yeah, a mine. I've been to mine site to see what
when
kind
I think of mines. I think about Africa and Asia.
No. In Sweden, of course. North of Sweden, Aitik copper mine. And I was surprised that they could succeed to run it sustainably. So we've seen swans in on the mine site, you know. So after the mining is finished, they transform it into a kind of lake. And there was swans swimming, very green grass. And what's also very important, the workers were there for long term, because it was usually happened that the workers get misused. They are not having sufficiently enough equipment, you know, or dresses for mining. And this undermines their health. So this is very important indicator when the people stay, even though it's not an easy industry, that it's also that the company is taking care of the employees as well. So yeah, social aspect.
Comparing it with the countries which are like the role model for the rest of the world.
Sweden, I'm sure, but there are other companies which are running mines around the globe. And it doesn't mean actually where the company comes from, it's where they are running the operation. I think
exactly
right. So if there is a government in Africa which doesn't protect local people, then they might be screwed.
Unfortunately, which happens quite often.
But fortunately, what I see now is that also even giant like Glencore are transforming slowly, and they also transform their operations being more sustainable.
This we have to tell to the people who were trying to create the pipeline from United States to Canada, which fortunately Joe Biden stopped it. So another point, which I know, but of course the audience doesn't know, that you have a very eclectic background. You studied music, you come from a music school, and finally you became a student of something as boring as banking and finance in Zurich University.
Banking and finance is interesting. You know, I've been choosing all the banking products and investments. It's very interesting and inspiring to see how can you, I don't know even how to say that, but it's very interesting because investment is everywhere. You constantly invest in something, in yourself or in your business, and how the mechanics work behind to understand what is driving it. It's very interesting. But anyway, how did I end up in banking and finance? Well, because I wanted to be independent, you know, I didn't want it to be dependent on you.
As a banker, you're independent.
I went for economy also, one of the reasons to be financially self-sustainable. Be independent from men. This is the secret. Yeah, because I'm from Russia, and cliche is that we marry rich people, the Russian women, which is not at all true for every Russians. You know, there are also a lot of exceptions. So I was one of those who wanted to stand on their own feet, and this is why. And to travel the world and be citizen of the world, that was my dream. This is why I said, okay, banking and finance is something interesting.
I hope and she knows that I'm teasing her, because I also studied engineering and ended up in the field of finance and investments. So
why, by the way?
Today is your day, not mine.
All right. Okay.
So very often in all the shows and in every episode, I always mention the same thing, that we are in a quite a critical situation. Our environment, we have damaged it severely. We have exponential loss of biodiversity. So do you still believe, as a banker or a financier, that we would be able to achieve the Paris Agreement? The Paris Agreement is talking about 2 degrees, which is already a catastrophically bad. But theoretically, many of our politicians and policymakers are looking for 1.5 degrees. Mm. So what is your personal opinion?
Well, I'm also quite realistic. So to be honest, I don't think so. I don't think we will achieve that. I mean, just based on observations, what we have done since then, not quite much, right? And even now with COVID, we are forced not to travel. Still, the effect is not there where we need to have it. And observing how it is still happening around the world, people are talking, people are overthinking, should we not? We care about the profit, so we are still not moving. And, you know,
don't forget Trump and his believers. Who don't even think that climate change.
Exactly. So taking into consideration all these facts, I don't believe we are able to achieve that. I believe we can transform and we might learn to live with climate change. I actually may be more of the Armageddon scenario persons that I think we will change more when some serious events around the globe will start to occur even more than COVID, or when we will see really it is happening, then it's exactly. Then that would be the trigger, because we can change, you know, like this example with smoking.
Yeah.
You know, smoking was normal in the planes, in restaurants, everywhere.
I used to fly in the plane where everybody, all the passengers were smoking.
I know, yeah. And then after 2 years, I think everyone transformed. So it's possible, right? But this trigger didn't happen yet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or maybe it's happening, but not in the scale that people expected.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is a worrying thing, because normally I'm the kind of gloom thinker and Svetlana is the kind of happy-go-lucky thinker. And now it worries me that even she's not giving trust in the Paris Agreement. Being That's worrying. Okay. What is your opinion or your ideas up to making the world change? What would you advise to the world?
I mean, if you want to change the world, change yourself. This is the first thing, because you need to start, or you need to think big, but you need to start small and imagine that everyone would take little action in their homes, in their communities, first of all, maybe, okay, regions and so on. Then we would have a huge impact. You know, if you put such goals, oh, I want to change the world and I don't even want to stop eating meat myself and change my eating habits or traveling. What are you smiling?
She's looking at me.
Then how can you change the world? You know, so it's very difficult to change yourself in first place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is, I think, where everyone should start transforming their own lifestyles, their own habits, and do what they can do as a person, as an employee, and as an investor, because as a consumer, you are also kind of investing or supporting those companies which are producing certain products or services, right? So it depends whom are you choosing, and also it depends if you buy it all. You can also stop buying, you can... stop buying as well. It's also an action, right?
And disinvestment.
Disinvestment.
Yeah.
So think big, of course, your purpose should be big and a goal, but start small first with yourself. And then when you are satisfied, when your values are aligned with your actions, then go to the next step. Because often what happens that... even if we know it's not good, the plastic waste and all this, we still buy vegetables and fruits wrapped in plastic, okay? You could still search or go to zero waste shops and get it without plastic, but we are very comfortable people, you know. Yeah. It's of course much more convenient, and we all constantly kind of go on our values and they are behind, and we don't sacrifice certain things for our comfort, you know.
Yeah.
And this is why I say, first, as a person, be happy with your how you set up yourself, your values, your actions, and then you go next step. And you are also then an example, an inspiring example for the world.
Mm-hmm. No, this is quite right what you mentioned. But this is, you are telling it to the world what to do. What about you? What are you yourself doing, which is making the difference?
Well, let's go step by step. Vegan. Vegan, of course. I'm also now not flying at all. I'm sitting at home and walking in the lake. But even before, I was also trying not to fly much more than it's really necessary. Of course, the plastic, it's I only buy things not wrapped in plastic, and sometimes it's very hard to do, but it is possible. I left the bank. I think this was really cool action, you know, because first I tried to change them from inside, very hard. You know, I tried a lot of things and talk on different levels, educating at least my team knew what is impact investing, because before they didn't. But when I left, they all knew, okay, impact investing exists and what it is. So my little impact was there. But it is very important to go if you see your employer doesn't correspond to your values.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because it's your one life. It's your one chance in life to to live it in a way that is meaningful, that you also kind of unfold your human greatest potential. Because I believe that every one of us has that, and the system is kind of putting it very deep inside, and people are staying at the places where they are because of salary, high salary, of course, their lifestyles and so on. But deep inside, they are suffering because they are not happy because of what they are doing, right? So this step is, of course, not easy to make if you have a family to feed and so on, but it's always possible to find a solution.
There's always a way. That's what I believe in. Yeah.
So this was also one of the actions. Investments, of course, also I only, my little pension fund that I have is invested in sustainable way. And it was actually really funny. When I first called them, they said, so I said, I want to invest in something else that you guys do for me. They said, what is it? I said, yeah, it's such a sustainable investment thematic, maybe in water, sustainable water, then circular economy and so on. And they're like, we don't know. And I said, I know. So here are the iZines. I want these two funds, please. Uh-huh. So, and then it worked. So
yeah, I go with her to restaurants, and then we have quite a big discussion at every restaurant when she explains what she wants to eat.
Oh, no, come on, please don't embarrass me in front of everyone.
So what I wanted to mention about this, to change the world, it was very funny. I was having this meeting last week, like you mentioned, with three of the global financial leaders. And one of them is the head of the Norwegian finance. He mentioned three things, which are very important. One is sustainable finance. So mm-hmm. everybody, all of us should look where our pension is, where mm-hmm. our savings are, where is it being invested and things mm-hmm. like that all of us can look into it. Secondly, was the procurement. And just go to your city, to your state, to your country, to the mm-hmm. government, and ask them, where is the government buying its products from? Is the products which the government is buying, because governments are one of the biggest buyers or purchasers, whether those products are green and or and innovative? So this you can ask. And I know, for example, the mayor from Seoul, from South Korea, they have been busy very, very successfully the last, I think, 5 or 7 years with their procurement. And this is really a very powerful tool to mm-hmm. change the market. Third is a green transformation. Everybody's talking about transformation, but the focus very often is on transform technologies. Everybody's looking for the technology to come,
mm-hmm.
which will save us and the world will be green and beautiful and wonderful. Other is finance, which I also personally believe in, and which also that first finance mm-hmm. is the most powerful tool which can make a difference to change the world. But very often we are forgetting it is also people like you and me and all of us and our way of life, because this is also that we have to change.
Thank you for supporting my ideas.
And apparently most of the policymakers are so much focused on technology and finance that they are forgetting that it's also the way of life of people you're impacting. And that may be their food culture, that may be mm-hmm. their travel culture, people who are used to the traveling all the time with their own car. May not be very easy if you tell them suddenly to start traveling with train or with public transport. So these are a lot of factors which we are not looking into and which we should look into if we want to decrease our carbon emission. But sorry for that.
No, thanks for putting added value to what I just said.
Another thing which you just mentioned yourself, you are a yoga teacher also. Where does yoga and finance come together? What's the link?
I mean, in order to be good in finance and keep your spirit up, I think you must do yoga, you know. It's not more like why it's connected. I've been doing yoga since, I think now by 14 years, starting around mm-hmm. 14 years ago. And first as a hobby. But then I really always wanted to become a teacher, you know, to learn from traditional Indians, the very traditional yoga styles, hatha and meditation, pranayama, so all this stuff. No, it wasn't you were not my guru. And then when actually I had a crisis at my work, I was thinking, I want to leave. And then this enlightenment thought came, like, what do I really want to do? And then I decided to go even for 10 days to India to learn that. And I think that was one of the pivotal points in my life mm-hmm. Because it's brought me back to myself, to my values, to who I am. As financial institutions, unfortunately, are still sucking the energy out of people and then transform them to kind of zombies, profit-oriented. I'm sorry. And I believe they can change.
I think your ex-colleagues are not going to like this.
Well, you know.
Or most of them left.
Exactly. A lot of them left. So this the yoga, when I came back, I quit the bank after 3 months, because then my inspiration came back. I started to give workshops on impact investing. I had so much knowledge to share, and the bank didn't allow me to do that inside of the bank. And I started to do it on the side, and people came. I had a waiting list of who wanted to learn about impact investing. And after 3 workshops, I said, Namaste, guys. I see the light in you, but I need to go. So this is how it is connected.
So that's where the seed was planted for the Impact Investment School, which we are doing now.
Well, yes. First, it was Galileo International Impact Investing Center, the NGO, which was there to create awareness about impact investing, to provide accessible education. And this is very important word. When I wanted to learn about impact investing in Switzerland, I didn't find anything. And then I needed to go to UK, to Oxford, but it was bloody expensive. It was even so great, but who on earth can afford that?
Oxford University also watching.
I love them. So thank you very much, Professor, my Professor Nichols, Professor Gaylor. It's very nice that you teach me. And but still, you know, then I also realized, looking at the audience was mostly some investors, some bankers, some portfolio managers, but there was no normal people, you know. And my idea was to create what? No, I mean, just anyone, you know, anyone. And then I realized, how can something so obvious as incorporating our planet and people when you are doing business or anything still be so inaccessible, right? And only the privileged one who have money to pay the program can learn about it. And this is why Galileo came into place, that I started teaching for very, very, very small fee and talking a lot for free on events to raise awareness that impact investing exists, mm-hmm. you know, because people, once they came, independently of profession, independently of age, independently of income, they all understand the concept in 2 hours and they want to get engaged. And this is where they face the next problem. They ask, so where can I invest? And I say, it's very difficult because usually impact investing starts with 250,000 K. So, but of course, 250,000. Of course, there are some opportunities, but it's not that easy. Yeah. So this is one of the challenges, by the way, in impact investing, which I hope soon someone will address. There were some trials, and it's still, I mean, you can find some microfinance funds, you can find some direct investment, 2,000-3,000 in angel networks, but still it's very limited. Mm-hmm. So you know what my dream is?
Tell me.
To go to a bank, a Swiss bank, and say, I have 1,000 francs. I want to do impact investing for SDG 1, 3, and 5. Do you have any funds there or any possibilities? And they will say, of course, yes, you have this, 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 and this. What do you want? Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the moment, if you do that, they would say it, you say, what is impact investing? So this is why we are doing what we are doing too.
But this is changing. This is changing faster. Absolutely. Than, mm-hmm. faster than we anticipated. So it is changing all around the
and
world.
The funny thing was that I had a lot of bankers in my courses. Uh-huh. From different banks of Switzerland, and because the banks didn't learn their employees, they didn't teach their employees about impact investing, so they were coming to me and I was teaching them. That was very funny.
Now on a bit somber note, so what do you think about the future of our planet, humanity, and for you especially, economy?
What do I think? I mean, the planet will be there without us or with us. It's what I think. Mm-hmm. The planet would be maybe even better without us.
That chance is quite high, yes.
The humanity. We need to realize that being human is great, that it's not a small thing. Because usually we tend to provide excuses. Oh, we are just humans. You know, we can't do much. We are humans. We have our sins. We have whatever. But you need to realize that being human is great. It's not a small thing. You can really move a lot of things around. And either it can be positive or negative. And this is a choice that we are making consciously. Right? And this is why I think... humanity has a chance. Mm-hmm. The question is, will they take this chance and unfold their potential in the positive way or not? Mm-hmm. Or they will keep finding excuses why they were not doing something, even though they had all the technology, all the money available.
And that's what we had also discussed in one of the earlier programs, that psychologically, apparently, we humans see act on problems which are at our doorstep, but we don't act on problems which are a little bit further than our doorstep. Maybe that comes with our evolution. We have this problem that we act when the predator is just running behind us, but we don't think about the predator who may be hiding 10
kilometers. Who comes in 10 years after us.
Exactly.
That may be, yes. But the economy, you asked also a question about the economy. I don't believe in the economy which is supposed to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and there is no stop. So I see also that traditional financial markets are still built on this theory that the markets keep growing, that we need to make people consume even more in order to make sure this constant growth is there so we can get our profits and shareholders can be happy. So I don't believe in that. This is why also in impact investing, and when I teach, I talk about growth. It's a very important thing. Mm-hmm. When you're starting your business, you need to actually already think how big I want to grow to still remain sustainable, to still remain impactful. Because if you grow too much, you might need to sacrifice your impact for growing more, for making more profit, for making more money, of course. And then you compromise your impact because growth is very important component for sustainability.
Okay, now that's a good point. I think there was an Indian professor who won the Nobel Prize on this, Professor Singh, that unending growth is not only not possible for economy, but it's also bad for economy.
Absolutely.
My next question, again, back to the
old... And maybe, can I add something spiritual thing here?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, like...
Today's your day.
Oh. So, imagine... You are the king of the planet.
Yeah.
You have everything, right? You have everything. You have all the financial resources. You have all the castles. You have all the environmental resources, all the women, all the relationship. You have everything what human can ever dream of, you know? Because usually we tend to have money but not bad relationships or vice versa. So we are constantly missing something. But imagine you have everything. You will be still unsatisfied. You will want more. You will want to look where? To the stars. Mm-hmm. So this is our human nature. And when we realize that, we should look inside.
Yeah. Which is quite true, because I've been often in Hollywood I have a lot of friends who are all billionaires. They are one big unhappy lot. Compared to the fact, when I was a kid, I used to sometimes travel in second class or third class in India in the train, which is really very, very poor people, or people who have very, very little. And they were far more happier. And I saw much more happiness there in them than I saw among the billionaires around the world. So happiness and money sometimes works and opposite to each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's face it, you know, we are the most comfortable generation which has ever existed in humanity, at least which we know, you know, existed. Yep. But are we more happier? I don't think so. We are not the most happier generation.
That's true. That's very, very true. Now going back to the old topic. So from a hardcore finance, how did you end up in this Mishi Mushi impact investment?
How did you call it Mishi Mushi impact investment? So, as I said, after coming back from India and starting the workshops on impact investing, I left the bank. So Galileo was there for everyone, like for public, but I felt there is something missing there, and we need also to engage professionals. The bankers, the projects to transform them. And this is how Impact Investing School came into life. So where we work with professionals, I also teach at the universities for students, you know, so because it's still not in obligatory mandatory program, even in Switzerland. So I'm frequently invited to teach students, which I find very cool that university is also moving. And we work with projects, we work with financial institutions who want to teach their own employees on the topic of impact investing. So that's very nice. And of course, there was one more thing which was still missing, as I believe in technology, you know, it helped us a lot. And the dream was at the time of Galileo already that we need a platform where people can find each other, investors, projects, anyone, newcomer, experts, in order to make this capital transformation and capital shift more efficient. Yeah, because what I used to hear that, oh, there's not enough projects, oh, there is no capital to find. And as a one person, you can connect some projects and investors, but it's very inefficient. So you need some platform there. And this is how we started to work on Chamomile.
That's the secret.
Yes, and it was a long journey, almost 2.5 years, and then so we are helping various various people to find or to realize their needs. I think it's quite successful. We want, of course, to see 1 million users till end of this year. That would be a dream to help so many projects.
To cross more than 1 million.
To cross, okay.
I mean, we have already quite very, very high level members.
Yes, yes.
So I want to go to the next question. Mm-hmm. And next is that I was once attending a banking seminar in Zurich, where we were talking, and this was like 5-6 years ago, when I mentioned that sustainable impact in financing or sustainable and impact investment. And there was a professor from the university, professor of economics, who mentioned, impact investment and sustainable, these are not economics, these are just morality.
Uh-huh.
What would you be then answering them? What would be your answer to them?
This is just morality, yeah? Uh-huh. That's very good excuse, I would say, not to do things and not to transform.
But if you look at it purely as an academic, that you're an academic of economics, and somebody comes and tells you about impact investment or sustainable, and you, as an academic, look at it and say, "Nah, this is not economics. This is morality."
They should go to smell the real world, maybe out of their books, you know, because the world is changing. I think they also noticed that somehow the eyes are melting, and COVID must have touched them. And
ice is melting is biology. COVID is touching is medicine. It has nothing to do with economics. if it is a pure economic academic, a professor of economics, what will you tell him?
Maybe you should retire, no? The world is changing again. The world is changing. Impact investing has its place. And actually, you know how we teach now. So it's not just risk and profit when we talk about traditional investments, but there is a third dimension of any investment, which is impact, which was always there.
Mm-hmm.
We just never measured it. We didn't care about that. And it can be positive or negative, but it was always there. And now the question is, how do we measure it in a way that it makes sense, that it also become kind of standard in the industry? Because at the moment, impact measurement, it's not a standard. It's still voluntarily, and there are a lot of different tools and approaches to do that. But there is no standard. And maybe it would be important that it would become a standard, and it would also motivate many companies to show what kind of impact they're generating, both positive and negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay if they are still generating negative impact. You need to show what it is in order to, and to know, you know, this is why we measure impact, to see what type of impact we are generating so we can transform it, that we can see, okay, how can we transform?
I think that's one of the most important part, where people, if you invest, especially because now we have a lot of greenwashing going on. So if you invest where a bank or a wealth manager or asset manager says this is an impactful fund, you should ask them, are you measuring it? Because what may be impactful today may not be impactful tomorrow. Or it may be not impactful at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I've been working at the fund myself, and I've been analyzing a lot of funds which are claiming being impact funds. But when you look at them, they actually invest in some blue chips, mm-hmm. applying some very soft ESG, environmental, social, governmental practices. So they are very far from being really impact. So it would be very nice to explain to the world and to the impact fund managers what is impact and what is still sustainable investing, which I always love to do.
And these people are getting, like I mentioned at the starting, that the regulations are coming, which will enforce these financial institutions who are kind of misusing the term impact at this moment. So another question would be, what, because you have been busy in this line of converting or talking about or teaching people about impact investment, everything, what are the challenges of impact investing becoming the new normal? Why hasn't it become a new normal already now?
Yeah, well, I mentioned partly already this topic. So first is awareness, right? So many people still don't know it exists, or they are not aware, or if they are aware, they still don't understand what it is. Like, they're mixing up sustainability and impact investing, or philanthropy, impact investing and philanthropy. This is where we start. So we need still to, or they don't know SDGs as well, sustainable development goals. When you are in this sector, it feels like everybody knows.
Yeah.
But in fact, no.
I had a meeting yesterday, I think, with whom was I talking? I forgot. I said SDG. I kept on repeating, and he was saying,
what is SDG?
What is it? SDG, exactly. Social development
goals. Goals? What? Which goals? Yeah. So 17 sustainable development goals, which United Nations defined in 2015. It's already 5-6 years ago, and still people don't know. Many people don't know that it even exists. So there is a fundamental problem.
One of our earlier speakers, who was from UN herself, she had also mentioned that UN is not very good at marketing.
No.
Or informing people.
So this is the first challenge, right? Awareness. Then accessible education, right? So when you want to learn about it, you are inspired. Yeah, cool. I want to learn. The offer is still very limited and it's rather expensive. So this is why we are also doing these courses from Impact Investing School, which are accessible to various people, to everyone. Yeah, it's exactly. Accessible to everyone. Then, of course, I would love to see that financial students, of course, or any other students would also have kind of mandatory course on impact, maybe not investment, but SDGs impact, that they would just hear it and know what it is, you know, because as I said, independently of profession, people are capable to understand, and they know we are facing crisis, various crises, and they all have some money to allocate, and they all want to work for something meaningful.
And they're also looking for the right products right. And the market.
Yes,
investment.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is why education is crucial in transforming impact investing to the new normal. And last but not least, I also mentioned that before, this investment challenge, because I've been there myself and I've seen many people like, oh, yes, I want to do impact investing. Let's invest. And then, oops, I have only 1,000 francs to do so. So then you're basically you are facing this challenge. So I see it holistically. It's not just one stakeholder in this financial sector who must do something. No, it's financial regulation, it's government, it's universities. Of course, financial institutions must teach their employees, their clients, and they must establish impact investing funds or products, impact investing products. And there are many ways to do that because so many funds are already out there. So they could just it's white labeling. It's called white label them. So helping to distribute these existing funds, helping to distribute white labeling.
Not to me, I know what is white labeling.
Okay, I was like, what? You don't know? So helping to distribute existing funds inside of the bank based on little commission, right? But then, of course, it's less knowledge consuming, time consuming for the bank. Because to set up a new fund, it takes long time, more resources. And of course, you need maybe 3 years track record before you can send it to other investors. It's usually also common excuse for new impact investing funds. Oh, it doesn't have 3 years track record, so we can invest in that because it's our policy. So the pension funds also usually don't invest if the fund is too small. They don't invest.
Get me started on pension funds.
Okay.
but this is also the point where I said in the beginning when I introduced her that she's my teacher, because she's such an academic in this term, in this sector, that when she starts talking, even I, who has been busy with this a long time, although I'm looking more at it from the business point of view, even I get lost with these terms. So it is better that you explain what is white labeling, for example. So you know any other challenges or that was?
I mean, these are the main three challenges which I see, but of course there's a challenge how to measure impact, you know, impact measurement challenge about the risk in impact investing. Is there a trade-off between risk, between return and impact generation? So there are a lot of other challenges, of course. Some people are struggling with finding new projects. Some people are struggling to find capital. And when talking about capital, I think this is also a very important challenge for new projects, new funds, as nobody wants to take risk. Do you like to take risk?
I've been taking risks my whole life.
Me too. So I'm
the job of being an entrepreneur.
I'm a risk taker, you know, yeah. But many really like, no,
I mean,
you know,
interviewing you on the public. I don't know if
you took this risk.
Exactly,
I didn't know. So exactly.
So, one question, but this also I had very curiously last week when somebody asked me that, oh, impact investment, cool. I want to look into it and we will look into it and our families will look into it. But impact investment always means trade-off. No, so that means the more impact I have, the less I'll earn money. In most cases, I think I may not even get my money back. My money will be good. They're gone forever. What do you think about that?
So it's again, lack of education, lack of understanding, because impact investing per se generates zero to market return, meaning at least you get your capital back. And at the best case scenario, you get market return or even higher. Right, because impact investing itself, it's not always the same. What are you laughing at? Am I a bit too academical?
No, I'm just listening.
So impact investing.
My sympathy is with the audience.
Okay, impact investing is a range, right? So you can, it can be either closer to philanthropy, then we have more impact and less return, right? Because we generate deep impact. We really create a change and systematic change for people and environment. So sometimes the return, of course, is smaller, okay? If we go towards sustainability, so if it's closer to sustainability, you still generate impact, not that systemic, but still it's very profound, but you can generate market returns or even higher, right? So there is this range, and this is why to your investor, you can say, no, at least you get your capital back, or you will also earn some return. And it also depends on which asset class, in which asset class you invest, because impact investing is an approach. So it can be done in fixed income, in private equity, in real assets, and so on. So it can vary, the return will vary depending on the asset class.
It's funny, I remember a couple of weeks back, I was having a meeting with a friend of mine who runs the biggest real estate asset management company of Switzerland. And said, I said, oh, we have a renewable energy fund, which has a yearly return of 25% plus the last quite a few years. And he was looking, really? I said, what's your performance? Oh, 2.5-3% per year.
Yeah, exactly. So we
only there were a couple of more zeros behind their assets than among behind our assets,
yeah.
Fund, but still.
Yeah, this traditional in investing in some government bonds or, you know, investment,
that
which
can be negative.
Exactly. So,
one thing I always, even I used to make that same mistake, is that I consider impact investment as an asset class. But first, you have to explain what do I mean by asset class, and I think you are a better person to explain that than me. But is impact investment, so first you explain what is an asset class, and then can you explain, is impact investment an asset class? So can I go to the bank?
It's what I just said. So impact investment is not an asset class, it's an approach. Asset class, it's different, it can be different financial instruments, like fixed income. Like you give someone a credit and you get it back and you receive some fixed, this is why it's called fixed income, you receive fixed amount of interest rate on that. If you invest in equity, you will become a shareholder of the company. Your income is not secure, it's not fixed, but it can be higher because when the company goes well, you receive dividends on that. Or when you sell your part and the company grow quite a lot, then you earn also on the sale of your shares.
But one of our speakers, Kevin Harrington, when we interviewed, he said, many of the companies or business invest, he gets 20x, 30x, sometimes even 50x or 100x.
Exactly.
What does that mean?
it's a multiple. So when you invest certain amount, you get 20 times that invested capital, for example.
Interesting impact investment.
Yeah, but it's maybe it's over 10 years, for example, right?
So, and is sustainable or are sustainable investments not, or aren't they as or equally important or even more important than impact investment? Because as far as I know, the amounts of sustainable investment is far, far larger than impact investment. And as institutions usually cannot allocate big amount of capital into impact investment, and that's one of the reasons why they do mainly sustainable investments. So if you look at the global project of the amount in sustainable investment and amount in impact investment, there's a huge, huge difference.
Let me ask you first, what is the amount of sustainable investment worldwide currently?
I think it was a few trillions.
30.7.
Yeah, exactly.
Few, it's a bit more than that.
And impact is around not even 1 trillion yet.
800 billion.
Exactly.
Yes. So the problem is that in between impact investing and the sustainable investing, it's also there are different approaches, right? And we start from very simple one, exclusion. Meaning, so we just exclude some industries like weapon, tobacco, alcohol, pornography, gambling out of our investment scope. And then we call it responsible investing, or some people call it even sustainable. And how much money is there?
A lot.
Two-thirds of this sustainableness. So 20 trillions, around 20 trillions are just in this exclusion thing. Okay, this is where we start. So there is a big potential to transform into much more sustainable practices, including environmental social governance criteria, much more than just excluding certain industries. Right, and I always say that we need sustainable investing. It's not that impact investing will solve all our problems and the future will be bright and gloomy. No. So I always say
bright
that... like you said, mishy-mashy impact investing. So now you got it back. Uh-huh. So I always say we need sustainable investing because they have the... which call themselves sustainable, and they can generate huge impact. They can create new standards in their industries. And this is why we need their collaboration. We need them to transform as much as possible towards impact, right? And of course, it might be challenging for big institutions to invest in small projects, but again, there are impact investing funds through which you could overcome this problem. So they could invest in impact investing funds instead and give the job to select the projects to the funds.
Mm. Okay.
Right? So it's, again, we need sustainable investing, but we need true sustainable investing, and we need them to transform and see impact investing as an example of systematic change, of that they really mean it and not misuse it as marketing.
And there is a flow of funds from the sustainable investment into the impact investment.
Yep.
But there's another place where the flow of fund is coming from is philanthropy.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid and when I was growing up and everything in Netherlands, we always had huge amount of money going into social projects and all over Asia, Africa, everywhere. There was even a ministry in Netherlands which regulated that fund, where the fund is going. But that was one way direction. But what we have learned in the last couple of decades is that it didn't work and it did not produce the results that was expected from it. So now,
right,
most of the countries, I mean, Netherlands is in fact the most, if not one of the most, it is the most advanced country in the field of impact investment, that they are doing it as an investment. So there is an inflow of fund from that angle also.
Absolutely. And I've been working also with a couple of NGOs, gave some speeches like WWF or Helvetas in Switzerland. They're also transforming partially at the extent they can to impact investing because it makes much more sense and it's provides more efficiency for the capital because otherwise they need to fundraise. Yeah. So the NGOs always need donation in order to donate further, right? But to get these donations, they need enormous amount of resources and time, and it would be much easier if the money which they give at least the same amount would come back. Then they could give it again to other projects.
And that is the funny part, because there they run into issues with mandate, because then they have the mandate from their donor to get money, to give it. And suddenly when they give the money comes back even more. They don't have the mandate from the donor. Then they have an issue. So they have to also work at that. And that's also what we support them with. So what, in your opinion, are the advantages to engage in impact investment?
There are many. There are so many advantages. And I mean, a few of them are that you can also get support from the national government. You know, if you are a project and you are trying to solve some issues of impact, issues in SDG issues in your communities, then the local government will most probably support you either with financial support or with some other resources, technical support. In impact investing, there is so much money and expertise available, you know. Just looking at European Investment Bank, they allocated more than 1 trillion euro into climate change related projects. And this is just one example. So more and more institutions are allocating money, and they are looking for great projects and funds to invest in.
I mean, I even heard from the owner of the SCB Bank, it's a Swedish bank, said nearly all their clients want to only invest in impact investment funds and projects.
So this is, of course, very positive for you if you want to engage in that. Expertise. Much more people want to work for something meaningful. So if you are in impact investing fund or you create yourself a business, we generate positive environmental social impact, you are most likely to find even some volunteers at the beginning to work for you because they believe in your mission. So this is another advantage which you certainly have. So the goodwill is very strong in this area. And if you face problems, people will stick to you and not run away, you know, like rats from a
This side speak also from the business point of view, that if your vision is good, people will stick to you through the good times and bad times. If your vision is not good, people will leave the moment somebody offers them better money or more chance.
And I think also for the long term, if you look at the future, either you incorporate this into your business, so SDGs, sustainable development goals, for those who didn't hear that, environment, people, you incorporate that into your business model, or you will be just unsuccessful. Very simple, because a lot of businesses are doing that. So you will be just having disadvantage in the long term, and people will not buy your products, they will not join you, and they will not invest in you. So you'd better change.
Exactly. I was just thinking, yesterday I was called up by somebody from China. They're quite a big investors and financial institutions. Apparently, they're watching our program.
Really?
Watching each and every of our episode.
I always think, who on earth is watching that?
So apparently the awareness for impact investment sustainable is rising all over the world. It's not only that Nordics and West Europe that we are the kind of trendsetters. That's not true. There are also most of the other countries in the world which are also watching, and they are moving also fast. So it's not only something limited only to here. This is a global phenomenon.
Well, it would be so sad if it would be limited to Switzerland, right?
Actually, although we are one of the biggest financial
centers. Yeah, but we are so unfortunate during COVID here. 2 hours left, 2 hours right, and you are back to home, right? So you can move, you can't move a lot.
So the last 1.5 years, we are getting on each other's nerves.
Well, let's see.
So talking about COVID, you just mentioned, so how do you think COVID has affected impact investment?
It had both impacts like positive and negative. The positive side was, of course, that the essential services became very important, right? Like food supply, health supply. And of course, impact investing is there for exactly these services as well, right? So the importance of impact investing sector became very clear, that if someone is able to solve these issues and create profit at the same time, those companies are very valuable, right? So this was positive. On the negative side, of course, economical downturn, which happened. It weakened a lot of societies and which were worse hit, actually, right?
Especially so,
the weaker ones, it's always the weaker ones who suffer the most. And this is what happened again, like women, farmers, mm-hmm. they all were hit, even though the farmers have nothing to do with that, but still they are suffering. And the positive side is, of course, that people are much more aware of impact investing and more money is flowing into the sector right now. And people also have seen that when this happened, the traditional markets collapsed. Okay, they recovered afterwards. But still, there was this downturn again, you know. Whatever. Again, they recovered.
About recovery, I just want to add something. If you look in US, the recovery, the shareholder, the Wall Street did always good. And its recovery was fast. But if you go to New York, the small businesses, the little businesses, they most of them are either bankrupt or they're all facing extremely hard time. So that's why we have to be very careful with the term of recovery, because sometimes we think, oh, the Wall Street numbers and European index and everything is going good. Does not always mean that it is good.
Absolutely.
And especially the small and the young businesses or the SMEs, the small, they are suffering.
Yeah. And also, you know, I think traditional investors have seen that investing next doors, here, safe in Europe, it doesn't work neither, right? So invest some investments which were in emerging markets such as India or South America, they worked much better. And you haven't seen this drop down. And maybe yes, but very little one. And then it really recovered. So I think it was clear indication about no trade-off between impact and profit. So you can invest with impact and generate high returns at the same time.
Can I then say that if you're investing impact, that your risk is low?
It depends. No, risk is also there for traditional investors.
Yeah, exactly. But by impact, if you look in the crisis period, the impact investment did better. Yeah. The traditional, they collapsed. So that means that relatively speaking, the risk and impact.
This is very simple logic, Ben. They are various, very different asset classes, right? So you should access them separately. So I don't want to make general statements. So people run into impact investing in private equity, which is also high risk, and then they lose their money. So it's not the idea at all. You know, so if you never have invested in your life and you hear impact investing, Please don't put all your money into that, you know. So it's...
you're speaking against impact investment. What happened?
No, I'm not speaking against. I speak for that, but you need to do everything reasonably. Yeah,
So what do you speak about then? What do you think about then the pension funds?
Pension funds...
I mean, I have quite a lot of opinion on that, but today is your day. So what do you think about the impact?
Well, pension funds are also very different from country to country. But of course, they are restricted by regulation. And if they are restricted by regulation and invest in traditional investments and then suffer, then there is a problem, right?
So and that's where we have to work at the
exactly
regulations.
Because then the regulation has a problem that they limit pension funds of investing something which is more safe sometimes and more profitable, and this is not the right thing anyway. And also in Switzerland, it's the same situation. Pension funds are quite limited in this sense. Yeah, but in France, I think they established a law where they must invest certain amount with social and environmental impact. So the Nordic countries, UK and France, they are much more advanced on that.
I'm just selling Netherlands. Now you're selling France. She's French, by the way.
Also, I'm citizen of the world, to remind you.
So, and since we are talking about financial institutions, what would be your advice to financial institutions to help them transform impact investing to the new normal?
Well, education, you will start there, right? So educate your own employees to explain them what is impact investing. But it's not enough. You need to educate your own clients and you need to provide to your employees the impact investing funds to sell. Because, of course, this is a reality. Let's face it. The bankers are selling the products of the bank for which they get bonuses, right? So they are motivated to sell it. So we need to change the motivation that the bank should have at least some of impact investing funds which are performing well, which are also valuable for the client. So you need to have different impact investing funds which address different SDGs. So the clients could connect to these funds better, align their values, right, with investment. And why should they do that? It's not because actually the client advisors could establish a better connection with the clients if they sell some impact investing funds, as it has value for the clients as well. And you can establish better relation because clients nowadays, especially in private banks, they are so educated. They know sometimes better than client advisor what is out there. And they do impact investing with some small companies because they're doing it and not with their own banks.
Which is a loss for the bank.
Exactly. Money. Exactly. Yeah. So this is a loss for the bank. So you could gain more money if you would, if you follow these advices, you could regain your client, put more money into your bank as well from the clients. And for the employees, it's very important because you create meaning for them in a sense so they wouldn't leave. Mm-hmm. Right. So this, I think, it's very important.
I think that's a very important part about this bonus system. Because I was speaking to somebody a few days back, he mentioned that, for example, in BlackRock, Larry Fink has made a very strong statement on sustainable and impact investment and about how BlackRock is going. But somebody mentioned that it's not going to be easy to implement it because he, from the top down, may have said that this is what we are doing. But the whole base and the lower side is still a bonus earning employees, and it's not going to be easy to change that mentality and that working culture.
No, absolutely.
So this is quite a long push. So how do you see the future of impact investment in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, of course, blooming. What do you think? No, of course. If it wouldn't, it would end up much quicker, you know. No, we see constant growth, from 2007 to a bit earlier, from 2000 five, I think, till today, from 50 billions, it increased to 800 almost. And if you look at Switzerland only, just in 1 year, we had 209% of growth. So Switzerland had 16.3 billions in impact investing.
One of the most conservative countries in the world.
And it grew to 50.4 billions in this year. So it's really people are getting more aware. They are putting the money into impact investing. So I truly believe that this growth will continue increasing exponentially. And I hope that Switzerland would take the step and transform to the most sustainable country and the most sustainable financial sector. That would be great.
It's working because we are working.
Well, they are working on that a bit slowly, I would say. You know.
Okay, she doesn't have any patience, but that's something. I think most of the viewers have noticed by then. And when do you think impact investment will become the new normal?
When it will become the new normal? That's a good question. I mean, I'm not a prophecy maker, but I could. Maybe in 10 years, maybe in 20 years, I think we will be much farther than we are now. So if not the complete new normal, but it will be much more spread. And of course, ideally, we should transform the whole financial sector into sustainable and impact investing, you know, because there is who said that finance can and should become the force for good, or it will cease to exist.
Ah, that was the French. It was the French Minister of Economics.
So, and how I see that we are currently over-reporting, we are overthinking, we are over-comfortable, over-talking about profit, over-reporting again, and not over-acting, right? So, when we will be able to incorporate this new way of being and making business and acting, this inevitably will happen. So the change happens with action. And so by shifting the capital, we can not only improve social and environmental state of our planet, but also as an ex-banker, you know, I always think about my ex-colleagues to provide dignity to financial people and so they can work on something meaningful and be proud of being a banker or financial person.
Unfortunately, now the time is running out.
Really?
So it went really fast. There's so many things, other things I wanted to ask, but we'll do it again.
So thank you for making me talk today unexpectedly so much.
So I just wanted to say that next week we have an amazing special guest. So it's next week our focus will be very strongly on the agriculture sector, the impact, the innovation, where is it going? What are the policies which are being worked at? The direction is taking. And this will be spoken by one of our very old friend, and also that's Her Excellency Professor Dr. Amina Gurifakim, the President of Mauritius, and she is a biodiversity scientist. And we will also have from the German and Dutch government ministry, and Jerome Remmers from the TAPP coalition in Netherlands, who are also advising the Dutch and the German government on agriculture on this topic.
Yeah, and remember watching Chamomile, and our next course on 20th of May will be held two times. So keep watching Chamomile and register for the course today.
So whatever she spoke today, she will be teaching. And please.
No. It will be less. You know, it will be more relaxed with more practical examples. You will enjoy it, you know.
And please keep supporting India and keep praying for what is going on there. And we will keep you posted with everything that is happening and what we can do with in our little humble way. But because keep in mind, it is the world's third biggest economy. And it is also the world's largest producer of vaccination. So whatever happens in India will impact the global economy and global health. So we have to be there and stand there and support them.
Yeah, so thanks for watching us today. Act with impact, I guess.
Thank you, and goodbye for now.
Bye, everyone.
Till next Friday. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Swiss Impact with Banerjee. I'm Svetlana.
And I'm Ben.
In season 2, we will be traveling around the globe, out of Switzerland, and bring amazing leaders from businesses, thought leaders, political leaders, of course, investors and experts.
We're working at implementing and realizing all the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, better known as SDGs.
And they are also making profit.
Hello, I am Amina Gurifakim, and I'm the sixth president of the Republic of Mauritius.
My name is Parvati, and I'm a musical artist and the founder and CEO of Parvati Foundation.
I'm Misha Adishkutai. I'm an entrepreneur here in Adishkutai. I'm running on one side a financial services company.
You know, hundreds of deals a month, we are seeing more things happening in this impact world. And this is because, look, the world is changing.
So join us to discover impact investing ecosystem.
See you every Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central European time at Swiss Impact with Benedict.
See you on Friday. Act with impact.